Let's open with hymn number 145. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill. Mercifully to look upon thy people, that by thy great goodness they may be governed and preserved evermore, both in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Lesson for this fifth Sunday in Lent is found in the 21st chapter of Numbers, verses 4 through 9. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Wherefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten when he looketh upon it shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, the 11th through the 15th verse. But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions which were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Here ends the epistle. Deliver me, O God, O Lord, from mine enemies. Teach me to do thy will. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. May Israel now say, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. Yet have they not prevailed against me. The gospel is found in the 8th chapter of John, the 46th through the 59th verse. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well, that thou art a Samaritan, and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God, yet ye have not known him. But I know him, and if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty. Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn number 156. Is found in the first chapter of Isaiah, the 10th through the 18th verse. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. When ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, teach us to offer unto thee the sacrifice of a contrite heart which thou wilt not despise. Even so, let us hear thy word. Dear Christian friends, ask any man what it means to be pure. You can almost bet he'll give you a list of things you should and should not do. During the election seasons, Politicians will tell you that they are a better person than their opponents because of all the things that they're going to do or leave undone. At work, you're judged by how well you perform your job. At home, you are judged by how well you obey your parents. Your friends judge you by how kind you are to them, how well you listen, and how much you help them. That is the way the world works, because it must. How else can you judge? It would be nice to know how another person thinks, what is in his heart, but you can't. You can only know what a man says and does. And what he says and does will not tell you what is in his heart. People like to think that they know one another, but in reality, you can never really know what is in a person's heart. You cannot even learn what is in a sincere person's heart, because part of being human is lying to yourself. For once you've convinced yourself that something is true, you can speak with perfect sincerity. Therefore, though our Lord Jesus knows what is in man, we cannot. As for us, we must believe the Lord when he says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Since men cannot look into each other's hearts, it is not surprising that they judge purity and righteousness entirely by works. It's therefore quite reasonable that the religions of the world believe that God also must judge men by the holiness of their works. Ask a Hindu, a Jew, a Muslim, a Buddhist, which is more important, what is in a man's heart or what a man does? And they will all agree, what a man does. The purity of the flesh is the only purity which the world knows. But this presents a problem to which none of these religions have an answer. Set up a perfect system of laws and rules, enforce them rigidly, teach all men rightly, even convince them to all strive to live a pure and righteous life. And evil keeps popping up. Strife, envy, hatred, and cruelty is just as present in the assemblies of law-abiding people as it is among the lawless. The religions of the world have no answer to this. Among their teachers, there are two types: those who recognize the problem and admit it, and those who deny it. The Jews were masters at such denial. They maintained all the sacrifices, rules, and ceremonial cleansings which God had ordained. And because of these things, they thought that this alone made them a righteous people. The difference between the Jew and the Gentile was not merely their ancestry, but this: the Jews had the law. The Gentiles did not. To answer the problem of evil, they would say, evil is what you do. Therefore, all we need to do is make these sacrifices and those drink offerings and eat this way and avoid that people. It doesn't matter then how often we sin. The Muslims are exactly like the Jews in this regard, only their ceremonies differ. The other kind of teacher among the religions of the world admits the problem of evil, and they understand the failure of their religion to deal with it. And so they spend their days searching for something to bring evil under control, but they fail. And those teachers finally have to admit that they don't have the answers, and that their religion seeks the truth, but has not found it. The Greeks, with their many philosophers, had this characteristic. The religions of the East also do. And that is why they all want to believe in reincarnation. They have no answer to evil in this life, so they need many lifetimes to try to find it. But the Word of God, which the teachers of this world reject, has the answers which they seek. His word teaches that there are two different kinds of purity: the purity of the flesh and the purity of the heart, that is, the conscience or the soul. Cleanse the flesh and your heart is still tainted. Your guilt remains. your sins continue to show themselves. A man might do many things to purify his flesh. God even instituted many sacrifices and ordinances for this purpose. Read through the law given to Moses and you will see many things that make a man unclean and many ways whereby he is to become clean again. All of that was for the flesh. None of it purified the heart. The blood of beasts could not cleanse the conscience of guilt, even as our epistle lesson in Hebrews confirms. So why then did God give Israel all these rules? For two reasons. God's rules were better than all the rules of the nations. They were perfect. God wanted by these stringent rules to teach his people that even the most stringent law, however carefully followed, could not clean the heart. God wanted to awaken in his people a longing for a true cleansing, a washing which God alone must perform. And second, God designed the ceremonies, the sacrifices, and the cleansings to point to the washing which he alone would give, to point to Christ, the one who could provide the washing of the heart which the law could not. The sacrifices of bulls and lambs and he-goats declared one great sacrifice of Christ. Their sacrificial system was designed in just that way. It had one focal point, the Passover. Every sacrifice throughout the year served as a prelude to the Passover sacrifice, the highest festival of the Jewish church. That one sacrifice, the Passover, above all others, declared that God was their deliverer and not man. It was the power and work of God alone that brought death and destruction to Egypt. And they were marked, that is, the Israelites, by the blood of the spotless lamb. And in view of that blood, God caused death to pass over them. Even so, it would be by the power and work of God alone that perfect righteousness would be accomplished for God's people. Death would pass over all who were marked by the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But it soon happened that the meaning of the Passover and of every other sacrifice was lost upon Israel. They forgot their deliverance. They forgot that God alone could save them from their sins. They had, as 2 Timothy 3:15 says, the form of godliness, but they denied his power. Their hands were bloody. Their hearts were filled with murder, gluttony, and adultery. They used the sacrifices as an excuse to continue in unrighteousness. In short, they were guilty of the very thing which centuries later the Jews still accuse Christians today, using the grace of God as an excuse to commit sin without consequence. Cheap grace, Christless grace. It is for this reason that God despised the sacrifices which the children of Israel had come to make. They were blasphemous. They used the Lord's name in vain. They called upon him with their mouths, but their hearts were far from him. And so in the words of the prophet, the Lord called them by their true name. Hear ye the word of the Lord. You think you are Israelites? You are Sodom and Gomorrah. To what end do you continue to make these sacrifices unto me? I've had enough of your bulls and rams and goats. I'm full of them. I hate them. Your drink offerings are vain. Your burning of incense is an abomination. My soul hates your keeping of the Sabbath, the new moon, and the feasts, for they're nothing but iniquity, and I cannot stand them. So when you come before me and spread forth your hands and call upon my name, I will hide my face. I will refuse to hear you. Your hands are full of blood. How remarkable that the Lord would so describe the sacrifices, festivals, and ceremonies which he ordained as an abomination. But that is how Israel made them. With one simple sentence, We can describe why. Israel sought grace without repentance. And therefore they found not grace, but anger and hatred from the Father in heaven. So will all men find who seek the Lord's grace without Christ. Even among those who call upon his name, saying, "Lord, Lord," will be many who call his name in vain, who turn the sacrifice of Christ, the blood which cleanses us from all sin, into nothing but a historical event, a martyrdom for a righteous cause, an act of love, which we are to imitate, and nothing more. It is no different with you as with Israel, for you also could easily, as many do, appear before the Lord with bloody hands, with your hearts filled with every vile and vain thought, lifting up the sacrifice of Christ, reaching out to the Lord, not to repent of these things and seek his help, but to placate him so that you might continue on living a vile life without consequences. No, the Lord declares, cease these things. Come to me seeking relief, an end to unrighteousness. Put away the evil thing from you. Despise that which is wicked. Love the good and righteous judgment. Give relief to the oppressed and be a help and comfort to all who are in need. That is the heart that he desires. Unless you look upon the cross and see Christ, who as your scapegoat bears the sins of the world, who as a sacrificial lamb sheds his own blood as payment for those sins. Unless you find God's love in him, a love which calls you not to more sin, but to repentance, not to death, but to life, and offers you the life for the death which Christ has borne for you, you blaspheme God and turn his immeasurable sacrifice into what in Hebrew is called a shaul, an empty idol, a vain and mocking imitation of the true Christ and his true sacrifice. See indeed how the Lord calls out, especially to you who believe on him, but also to those who do not. Come, let us reason together. Come to me, the Lord invites. I will show you the better way. Hear me, for I speak reason, words of true wisdom. Come to me and I will teach you. I will give to you the good you desire, the righteousness which you lack. Everything you need I will provide. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The conscience of man reveals that sin is a bloody thing. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Even the heathen knew this, and that is why they often also performed sacrifices. But those could not make them clean. A greater blood was needed, the blood of the Son of God. It alone has the power to cleanse your conscience. Therefore, come to the Lord, bearing only that sacrifice which he truly desires, a contrite heart. Do not come offering any other sacrifices but your sins, for those he greatly desires to take away from you. Do not come as a righteous man seeking payment, but as a sinner seeking relief and release. And you shall have it abundantly, for the blood of Jesus Christ washes away the stain of sin and makes you white as snow. Though the blood guilt of your sin is as crimson deep to your core, yet the Lord makes you as white as the purest wool. God therefore grant this unto you, even as he has promised. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Heavenly Father, receive these gifts which we offer unto thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, for the work of thy kingdom. Amen. O Lord God Almighty, who art the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank thee for the revelation of thy grace in thy Son, for the wisdom which ordained his crucifixion, for the high priestly sacrifice of his own body on the tree, for the guilt of eternal redemption, for the gift of eternal redemption through his passion, for the promise of eternal life through his death. We thank thee, O God. Grant that under the New Testament sealed by his agony and death, he may mediate to us thy richest blessings, the forgiveness of all our sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and the assurance of everlasting life. We praise thee for the wondrous love of Christ our Savior. We thank thee that thou hast spoken through him the words of life. We beseech thee to help us at all times to be faithful to his word, that we may never taste the bitterness of death. Help us faithfully to honor him by faith and life, by word and deed. Grant that we may find him to be the great I Am of heaven, uncreated, eternal, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Inspire us to love and worship him in spirit and in truth. Out of thine infinite goodness, lift up thy church, that it may be saved from all weakness and failure, and empowered for holy service. Govern the nations of the earth, that man may live everywhere without fear of his neighbor. Give thy grace to our homes and schools, that youth may be trained for usefulness in this life and for entrance into the life hereafter. Bless all who labor and give them the understanding that in all human toil we are accountable to thee. Help us to use our gifts as thy stewards. Forgive us all our transgressions. Be thou the comforter of the suffering and afflicted, the son of the aged, the supply of the needy, the protector of the fatherless, and the savior of all men. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. We sing hymn number 351.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame, likewise by a tree might be overcome, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through whom with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, the Lamb of God, have taken away our sin.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Us through this salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We sing hymn 48.
Oh, bless the day of the Lord.
Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.